the Sora Chasidus, the Shorish Avoda Tmima, the source of all righteousness, and the root of the perfect service of Hashem, who she is Boravis Amitetz La'odam, is for it to become clear and truthful to a person, Machovoso Balamo, what his obligations in this world are, Balamasar Shiyasim Avato, and to what he shall place his sights, Umegamto, and his aspirations, Bechol Asher Hu Omel, and all that he labors, Kol Yemei Chayav, all of the days of his life. Welcome to Life 101, the first parak of Mesillas Yesharim. The objective of this series is to bring forth the basic understandings that the Mesillas Yesharim brings to us. The Mesillas Yesharim is called one of the most seminal, most timeless works, probably in the past 500 years. Rabbi Saul Salanta said that all Mesillas Yesharim are great. The Mesillas Yesharim is in a class in and of itself. And what I'd like to do in this series is bring forth some of the concepts that he brings out in the first parak and try to relate them to our world, try to see if we can feel them, if we can sense them, if we get an appreciation of what he's saying. So let's begin. The opening line of the Mesillas Yesharim is Yesod HaChasidus, the source, the actual foundation of proper service of Hashem, V'shorish Avoda Tmima, and the root of serving Hashem properly, who she is Baravis Amitetz La'odam, that she become clear and truthful to a person, Machovoso Balamo, what are his obligations in this world? A person should understand why Hashem created him. A person should understand what his obligations are. A person should understand what he's focused to. Ulamasar Shasim Avatu Magamto, Becholash Omel Kol Yimei Chayav, and to what he should place his sight and aspirations in what he does all the days of his life. In plain, simple language, the Mesillas Yesharim is telling us the basics of our religion, the bedrock foundation of everything we do, is for a person to understand why he was created, what he's doing here, what are my goals, what are my aspirations, what am I striving for. And while this is interesting as a basic reason, a basic foundation for religion, you would imagine that it's the most basic foundation for anyone living a thinking, productive life. And as a matter of fact, you might be tempted to ask the question that how is it possible that anyone doesn't live that life? Do we need a Mesillas Yesharim? Do we need a Musar Sefer to tell us to think, to tell us to put the brain on, to tell us to pay attention? And yet, ironically, I believe the answer is yes. Because if you look about this thing called life, we all live, we're all doing, and especially in our current times, we're very, very, very busy. Very busy doing and going and being involved, and yoman v'layla, day and night, doing. But if you ask people why, what are you headed towards? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? What are you striving for? Well, I'm busy, I'm doing, I'm going from one to the next, on and on. And oftentimes the foundation for it all, the why, is lacking. And I'd like to share with you a mashal. Imagine the following. Imagine you pass a huge construction site and you're watching teams and teams of men gathering. You realize it's a few minutes before the start of the workday, but you see trucks, you see bulldozers, you see entire crews of people, and then there's a loud siren sound. The site foreman calls out in a megaphone, "Attention, attention!" And he calls together hundreds of workers. And from this megaphone, he announces that there's been a change in plan. As you know, he says, this construction is 110 stories tall. This construction is supposed to be one of the largest, yet safest buildings ever in the city. However, there's been a call from headquarters. Apparently, we're overspent. We're way over budget, and they've decided to eliminate the foundation. We're going to build up 110 stories tall, but we're going to do it without digging the foundation. Work begins in 10 minutes. He puts down the megaphone. Now, needless to say, everyone there would be aghast, because you can't build a structure without a foundation. If you build without a solid bedrock foundation, a wind comes and blows it away. What the Mesillas Yesharim is telling us, this is the foundation. He's now going to explain to us in the next coming lines, in the next parak, he's going to give us the bedrock foundation, and this is the punchline. If you attempt to practice our religion without the foundation, what are you going to have? Very questionable. very debatable. And you can create a huge structure. You could build story upon story, but if the foundation is lacking, what you're going to find is a very, very troubling result. And I believe that these words are not just timeless, they're particularly applicable in our day and age. I'll give you an example of exactly what I mean. A little while ago, I was sitting in my study, and a woman was very troubled. She asked for an appointment, and she was describing what was going on in her life. A word of background. Happily married young woman, a beautiful child. She loves her husband, loves her child, loves Judaism, but has a question. What's the question? All of these nuances, all of the particulars in the mitzvahs, do we really have to do them? I mean, I like Shabbos, I like Yom Tov, it's nice, the family gets together, it's meaningful, but does Hashem really want us to do all of the mitzvahs and all of the details? Does He really care? Now here was the profoundly astonishing part of the story. This woman went to the best yeshivas in the country. She had grown up in the frumest home. Year after year, she was considered an excellent student. She was not a youth at risk. She wasn't some troubled child. She grew up as a solid student in the best of yeshivas. And when she graduated and got married, the foundation to it all, the underpinnings to it all, was lacking. She has to come for a special emergency appointment with a rabbi. I don't understand. Do we have to do this? Is it really basic? Is it really important? Or is it just things that are made up? And you may say this is anecdotal and it's just not very significant, but I don't think it's anecdotal at all. I think it's very, very telling. Because if you press the point, if you ask many well-educated, many well-schooled Beis Yaakov graduates, many fine yeshiva products, ask them the basics, ask them the why behind it. Why does Hashem want us to do these things? Why is the Torah so focused on this? Oftentimes you get the blank stare. Let me give you another example. I was dealing with a young man who got into a little bit of trouble in his life, and he was involved in one of the 12-step programs. The 12-step programs are very, very effective, and the first step in the first step of the 12 steps is to accept a higher power, to accept the fact that you're not the be-all and end-all. You can't do it alone. In fact, you're powerless. You have to accept a higher power. Okay. In any case, I was speaking to this young man on and off, while he was going through the program, and he was definitely progressing. He was doing well. At a certain point, we hadn't spoken in a few weeks, and he called me up, and I said to him, "What's doing?" And he said to me as follows, "What do you mean?" I said, "How are things going?" He said, "Well, religiously lousy, but spiritually great." And I said to myself, "What does that mean? Religiously lousy, but spiritually great. What does that mean?" So I asked him, "What do you mean by that?" So he said, "Well, religiously, you know, davening, tefillin, tzitzit, you know, these kind of things, not really doing much. But spiritually, seeing Hashem right there in my life, seeing Hashem daily with me, I've never been this close to Hashem in my life." And I said to myself, that's astonishing. This young man went to the finest chadarim. He went to the finest yeshivas. He learned in Beis Medrash for many years, and he didn't understand what the Ramban tells us. The Ramban says the focus point of all of the mitzvahs is to see Hashem. What do all of the mitzvahs bring us to? To recognize Hashem and understand Hashem is present? He had to go to a 12-step meeting to recognize that God is in his life. But he's not a fellow who is ignorant. He's not a person who never went to yeshiva, quite the opposite. Very educated, very well schooled, but the basics of it all, the foundation, the underpinning of it all, lacking. And astonishing, because again, according to the Ramban, that's the tachlis, that's the purpose, that's the focus of it all. And we live in rather unique times. I believe that as a nation, we've arrived. Some 60, 70 years ago, if you would have looked at the face of Judaism, the face of the Jewish nation, you would have given up hope. Hitler succeeded in destroying the great yeshivas. Hitler destroyed everything that existed for us as a Torah nation. And yet astonishingly, some 60, 70 years later, and is such a rebirth. We've created a Torah culture. We have our own yeshivas that are beautiful and powerful. We have a Beis Yaakov movement that's astonishing. We have our own culture. We have our own magazines, our own radio programs, our own singers. We've created a Torah nation. And in many ways, we've succeeded tremendously. In many ways, there's a lot to be proud of. Yet again, sometimes when you ask certain penetrating questions, when you ask some of the best graduates of our yeshiva systems the why behind it all, and you ask them, why did Hashem create us? Why does Hashem want us to do these things? What's the purpose to all of these things? Oftentimes, what I found is you get blank stares. And I had the opportunity to speak last year at the Torah Masorah Convention, and I got up and I made the following contention. I said, we're doing a tremendous job teaching Tosis. We're doing a great job teaching our Beis Yaakov graduates to know every Ramban in Chumash, but are we teaching Yerushamayim? Are we teaching our students to love Hashem, to recognize Hashem, to see Hashem in their daily life? Do they understand what Bitachon means? Do they understand what Emunah means? Do they understand what the basics background is all about? And you have to recognize the fact that this was a little bit of a risky move I was pulling there, to stand up in front of hundreds, literally hundreds of mechanchim, top educators in our nation, and for me to get up and make a contention that maybe we're not doing such a good job is a little dangerous. But I asked the following. I asked, let's ask your Talmidim. What if you were to give the following questions to your students? If you were to ask them the question, why are you frum? If you were to ask them if you had a choice of being religious or not religious, imagine that Hashem said to you, here's your choice. You could be born a Gentile living in Tennessee or a Jew living in Brooklyn. Which would you choose? If you would ask the average Beis Yaakov student, if you'd ask the average yeshiva student, would you be happier in public school or in yeshiva? Let's forget the world to come. Let's forget Torah. Let's forget mitzvahs. Your life today, in the day-to-day living of your life, would you be happier as a goy, happier as a Jew? And I'm afraid to say that if you'd even ask many of our strong, solid yeshiva students, why do you learn? Why do you learn? And I've had mechanchim go into the 8th grade class, go into the 7th grade class of best yeshivas, and ask the boys, tell me, why do we learn? They couldn't get a proper, solid answer. So the contention that I made to these, again, literally hundreds of mechanchim was, we're doing a great job, a fantastic job teaching Tosis, a great job teaching all the Rambans in Chumash, but we're not doing a good job at all teaching Yerushamayim. We're not teaching to love Hashem. We're not teaching to appreciate that Hashem is present. The basics we've forgotten. And I expected a firestorm. They're not paying my mortgage. I'm not dependent on their contributions. So I wasn't afraid. I said it, but I knew what was going to happen. I knew that as soon as I was done, I was going to get it. Well, I finished my speech. I stepped off the podium, but there was no firestorm. No rah-rah. If anything, people kept coming over. Thank you, you're right. Thank you, you're right. I sold more books at that convention than I sold anywhere else ever. And what I found was the point resonates. The point resonates because, again, it's very true. And what the Mesillas Yesharim is teaching us is that these are not incidentals. These are not just additional things we should sort of add to the religion. This is the basics. This is the reason behind it all. And this is the foundation, the bedrock of it all. And if you're missing the foundation, the building is not very solid and is not going to have much kiyama, not going to have much to stand on. I use the mushal, and I think it's very apt. I say that we're Yankee fans, and I'll explain to you what I mean. When my daughter was 12 years old, she was Loa Lenu, she was a Yankee fan. And because she was the oldest, she taught all the other kids to be Yankee fans, and all my children were avid fans of the Yankees. One day we're in the van and we're passing Shea Stadium, the Mets, and my four-year-old starts booing. Boo! One of her sisters says to her, why are you booing? What do you mean, why am I booing? Because that's Shea. The Mets play there. My older daughter asked her, tell me, do you know what they do in that stadium? No. Do you know what baseball is about? No. Do you know how to play the game? No. So why are you booing? Why am I booing? Because the Mets play down. We're Yankee fans. Now, it's okay if you're 5 years old and your understanding of baseball isn't there, but you claim to be a Yankee fan, it's okay. But if your understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if your understanding of Hashem's involvement in our life, if your understanding of what Hashem wants from me, why, is lacking, when you're 18, when you're 28, when you're 38, there's a lot lacking. And if you honestly say, well, I'm a good guy, you know, Hashem is good and I'm good and I believe in Hashem, but you don't know what it means to believe in Hashem, you don't ever understand what that's about. If you're not thinking in terms of what does it mean Hashem is involved in the running of my life, what does it mean that Hashem is active? If you haven't ever dealt with those issues, then you're a Yankee fan. Oh, Hashem's good and I'm on Hashem's side and Hashem's good and I'm good and we're all good. But you're practicing your religion on a juvenile level. And again, unfortunately, this is very common and right out there. And I'll give you a classic example of what I mean. Imagine the following. Imagine you were transported in time. Imagine you had a chance to go back in time and you found yourself in Radin. And you saw the house of the Chofetz Chaim. And not only did you see the house, but you got to walk into the house. And you got to see the attic where the Chofetz Chaim often would go and would speak to himself. And you got to listen in. And you heard the Chofetz Chaim speaking to himself. And it wasn't really to himself. He was actually speaking to Hashem. And he was saying the words, Hashem, Hashem, I love you. Hashem, I love you passionately. Hashem, I love you with all my heart. I love you more than anything in this world. Hashem, I give up my life for you. Everything, everything for you, Hashem. Needless to say, you'd be moved. Wow, what a tzaddik to feel that, to express that, that he loves Hashem so passionately more than his life itself. Wow, but that's a tzaddik. We expect it. Well, here's the punchline. Twice a day in Shema, we say the words, Ve'ahavata es Hashem Elokecha. It is an obligation upon every Jew to love Hashem, b'chol levavcha, with all of my heart, b'chol nafshecha, ready to give up my life, u'v'chol miyodecha, with everything that's valuable to me. I'm supposed to have a passionate, powerful love for Hashem. But here's the question. How do we get there? How do I get that sensation? I would love to love Hashem. I would love to see Hashem present in my life. But how do I get there? How do I accomplish it? But you see, that question is fundamental. That question is the basics to everything. And ironically, you can learn. You can learn Daf Yomi. You could learn hours a day. You could learn Iyun. And amazingly, astonishingly, you might well not come to love Hashem. You might well not come to Yiras Hashem. You might well not come to Dveikus Hashem. And you may wonder, how could it be? Torah is fuel. Torah is the spiritual nourishment of a Jew. Torah helps me grow and helps me become a different person. And interestingly enough, you could learn, you could have all the powerful fuel in the world, but if you don't go to the gym to work out, you eat heavy dosages of protein, you eat thick steaks, but you never go to work out, what happens is you don't become muscular, you don't become strong, you become fat. And astonishingly, you could be steeped in Torah learning, you could be very, very involved in learning, but Yiras Shamayim may not necessarily come. You have to work directly on Yiras Shamayim, you have to work directly on learning to love Hashem, you have to work directly on learning to be Davek Hashem. And this is not my chiddush. And this problem that we experience in our day and age, that there seems to be a lack of real Yiras Shamayim, is not a modern phenomenon. The Chovos of Alevavos was written about 1,000 years ago. And in his introduction, he explains why he wrote that sefer. He's a Rishon. He wrote that sefer because he was speaking to an incredibly learned audience. These were not ignorant people. These were not beginners. They weren't Bali Tshuva. He was writing to his generation, to people who were steeped in Torah study. And he writes, it's very impressive that you finish Masechtas. It's very impressive that you're very, very familiar in all types and all parts of Shas. But the basics to love Hashem, to fear Hashem, to work on your midos, is that present? And then he tells a story. He says there was a certain Rav, a very well-known posek, who was asked a shaila in Hilchos Gittin. A man came over to him, a man was learning divorce laws, was learning Gittin, and he came over to this Rav to ask a question. And the Rav looked at the man and said, "Do you know that for 35 years I've been teaching Hilchos Gittin? Publicly I've been teaching these laws. I've paskin many, many shailas. Never once in all of my years have I ever come across this question. But here's a question I have for you. To fear Hashem? To love Hashem? Have you studied those areas of Torah anywhere near as much? This question, which never was and never will be, you're deeply involved in. But that which applies in your daily life, that which is a part of your essence, that which is supposed to be a part of everything that you do, you haven't addressed." And the Chovos Levavos writes that he wrote this book for that reason, because people are keeping all of the externals, all of the mitzvahs with dikdukim and extraordinary precisions, yet the obligations of the heart, what he calls the Chovos Levavos, are lacking. He says that's why he wrote the book. But I'd like to share with you another example that might be even more telling. The Mesillas Yesharim explains in the end of his Hakdama that his entire work is based on a brisa. Reb Pinchas wrote a brisa. That brisa has rungs in a ladder of spiritual perfection. The rungs of the ladder are Torah that brings to Zahiris, that brings to Zrizus, on and on, each one after another. Interestingly enough, the Mesillas Yesharim begins with the second rung in the ladder. Right after the part we're doing now, which is introduction, he jumps right into Zahiris, right into carefulness. And then he goes to Zrizus, to alacrity. But the very first rung on the ladder, which is Torah, he skips. Yet if you read the Brisa, the Brisa says clearly, if you want to grow, if you want to accomplish, if you want to head up in this path called spiritual perfection, these are the rungs in the ladder. Step number one, Torah. Step number two, Zahiris, learning to be careful. Step number three, Zrizus, alacrity. Yet the very first step, Mesillas Yesharim skipped. 3-4 parakim on Zahiris, 3-4 on Zrizus, but the very first step he skips. And you may wonder, rightfully so, why did he skip it? And could you imagine if we had 3 parakim on Torah written by Mesillas Yesharim? But if you read what's called Mesillas Yesharim Aleph, you'll know the answer. You see, the book that we have is the second version of the book. Before Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto wrote Mesillas Yesharim, he wrote a different book, same content, but in a different style. And that book was actually a vikuach, a debate. The two people in the debate, one was a chacham and the other was a chassid. And the focal point of the book is the chassid explaining to the chacham what is lacking in his life. And the chassid asks the chacham a number of questions. He asks some intricate questions in halachas of great depth. And the chacham knows the answers and he's fully aware of them. Then the chassid turns to the chacham and says, "I have one question. Yiras Shamayim, learning to sense Hashem's presence, how much time have you spent studying that? Loving Hashem, how many hours have you spent thinking about, dwelling upon, figuring out the strategies and the ways that you're going to come to that? Working on your midos, learning to be kindly and giving, learning to be tolerant. How many hours, days and weeks have you spent on that?" And the chassid says to the chacham, "Look what you've done. It's very impressive. You've amassed Torah knowledge. You've brought such peirus. But the underpinning of it all is lacking, is missing," explains the Mesillas Yesharim in that book. That's why he wrote the book. And if you'd like to know why Torah is lacking from the Mesillas Yesharim, it's because he was addressing an audience who were totally involved in Torah study. He didn't need to give them Musar. He didn't need to tell them to open a Gemara. These people were involved day and night, night and day. But that was the problem. Still, there was something lacking. What was lacking? The Yerushalayim. And the Mesillas Yesharim explains to us that that's exactly the point. these issues called learning to love Hashem, learning to fear Hashem, learning to work on your midos, learning to be punctilious and exact in the mitzvahs is something I have to work on specifically. If you're going to learn sukkah, if you're going to learn psachim, if you're going to learn all of the halachas in Tumah and Tara, and you're not going to spend time learning the halachas, learning the ways of the Torah when it comes to Yiras Shamayim and Avas Hashem, you're going to be woefully ignorant and you're never going to grow in these areas. And the Mesillas Yesharim's point is, you have to focus on it, and he explains that that's why he wrote this book. The focus of the book, the reason for the book, is to teach us this point. The foundation, the underpinnings, machovasi balamo, what are my obligations, what am I supposed to be focused on? But again, here's the point. This is the yesod hachasidus, this is the very foundation. Vishorish avoda, the root. The root is what gives the tree its nourishment. The root is what brings life to the tree. If you have a powerful, powerful tree, but the roots are cut, it will not survive. And if you're steeped in Torah learning, but you don't have the basic nourishment for it, you don't have the Yerushalayim, you don't have the Avas Hashem, it's not going to succeed. And again, unfortunately, that's what we seem to see in our day and age. We seem to see yeshivas producing tremendous, tremendous caliber. And they're doing a great job. And in a very real sense, our nation is doing phenomenally well. And yet this area still requires work. This area still requires focusing on. And sometimes you see the manifestation of it in an interesting way. I had the opportunity last year to go to Eretz Yisrael on what we call book tour. The Shmooze on Life book came out, Stop Surviving, Start Living. And I went to the yeshivas and the seminaries on tour, and I got a chance to speak in many yeshivas and many seminaries. And it was a very interesting experience. And I'd like to share with you one particular experience in one particular seminary. The shmooze I gave, if you're familiar with the shmoozim, I gave shmooze number 24, Understanding Life Settings. I've said it before, but I said it in one seminary, and when I was done, I found a reaction that was very unsettling. You see, that shmooze focuses on the fact that Hashem gives out a very exact life setting to each person. Whether it's poverty, whether it's wealth, whether it's pain, whether it's health, Hashem very carefully designs an exact stage setting for each person and puts that person in that life because that is the ideal setting for that person. Okay, so I did my whole routine, and after 40 minutes I finished and I asked for questions. One young woman raises her hand and says, Rabbi, I hear what you're saying, it's very moving, very inspiring, but how do I apply that to my life? How do I apply that to my life when I'm in such pain? Theoretically, I hear what you're saying, but I'm in such pain, how do I apply that? And I had a tough time answering that, certainly in public, so I sort of skirted the issue a little bit. Then I took the second question, another young woman with almost the identical question. Rabbi, I understand what you're saying about a life setting that Hashem meets it out, but how could I apply that when my life is so difficult? I skirted that one, took the third question, the fourth. Out of 60 young women in the room, it seemed that 40 of them had that question. The point you're making is well made, but my life is so difficult, I'm in such pain, how could I apply that practically to my life? And I looked around the room. These were all healthy young women coming from fine homes. Somebody was paying the $20,000 a year for their seminary cost. They were well dressed. They were not sleeping on park benches. And yet these young women were describing their lives in terms that are very difficult to understand. And it took me a while to get it. But to give you a mushel, to give you a parable of what it was like, imagine that it's 1946. Imagine that I'm standing in front of a room of concentration camp survivors and I say to them, Rabosai, we have to put the past behind us. We have to rebuild. We have to forget what was and we have to look for the future. We have to start afresh. Naturally, that's a very difficult message for people who just lived through Gehenna. But that's what I felt like when I was speaking to these young women. And you would think that I was talking to a room full of survivors, but these young women lived in the United States of America, spending a year abroad studying in yeshiva. These women came from the lap of luxury, from modern days with all of the conveniences, all of the luxuries, food aplenty, clothing to their heart's content. And yet they were suffering. And would you like to know why they were suffering? Because the underpinnings of it all, the reason behind it all, why did Hashem create me? What am I doing here? What's life about? Was lacking. And if in the essence of you, there's a lack, if in the essence of you, you don't understand why you're here, then life itself makes no sense. You could have luxuries, you could have cars, you could have homes, everything beautiful, but if life fundamentally doesn't make sense, there's going to be a huge vacuum. Within you, there's going to be this black hole and nothing can fill it. And I think the greatest battle cry to learn the Mesillas Yesharim, the greatest battle cry to learn it, study it, and apply it to our lives is current modern day living. Look out at our generation. Wealth, luxuries, opulence. Never in the course of history has there been that much available to so many. We live unparalleled lives. Kings of a few hundred years ago could not envision the luxuries and pleasures that the average man has today. And yet, if you look around and you ask people, so are you happy? Are you satisfied? If you stand in Manhattan on Fifth Avenue and watch the flow of humanity, find me a face with a smile on it. You see focus, you see intent, but happiness, joy, simchas achayim is lacking. But it's astonishing because we're living in a free world. We're living in a time of luxuries. We're living in a time when, in this country anyway, there's very little suffering. That's true, very little suffering in material measurements, but emotionally, spiritually, there's an emptiness, there's a void, and I believe the key issue of that void is because people don't understand why we're here. And if you try to live a life that's empty, that's vacuous, you could have all of the pleasures, all of the luxuries, but at the core of your essence, you're empty. And the chiddush of it all is that it's the Am HaNivchar, the chosen nation, who to some extent, or at least some of us, have lost our sense. And when you speak to young people who are ignorant of this, and you ask them, why did Hashem create us? Why are we here? What's life about? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? And you get a blank look. I mean, Rabbi, I got to finish a Masecht. I got to learn another Masecht. I got to get married and learn a Kollel. Okay, but why? Why does Hashem want you to do that? What's the purpose of it all? What's the meaning behind it all? And when you get a blank look, you know there's something lacking. Yesod HaChassidus, Mesillas Yesharim opens up the foundation of it all, the root of it all, is to understand why Hashem put us here, what's life about, what are our goals, what are our aspirations. This is the underpinning, this is the root. A building without a foundation isn't just lacking, it's totally incomplete. We have to focus on this. That's the purpose of this series, that's the purpose of the first perek. May Hashem grant us to succeed in finishing it and applying it to our lives.